down at the Rochester campus, and my friend Sue Densmore, who you're going to hear from in just a minute, was leading worship there, and we looked over at each other, and we were talking about how many worship services this gal and I have done together. Before I came to Farmington, we had done 25 years worth of Grace Community Church services, worship services together, sometimes three times a weekend. And so we figured about 10 years ago, we figured we had about 2,000 under our belt, so we have a lot more than that. But this gal is one of our founding members, really, of Grace Community Church. She was here before I was, and I'm here. Sue and I have been here 30 years, and so she was here with that. She's got some things going for her that are really great. She loves God. She loves Grace Community Church. She could have had plenty of opportunities to leave here. And she loves to teach. So can you give it up for my friend Sue Densmore?
Bud, that was really nice of you. I was not here very much longer. Like, I came in January of 89, and I think the boardmans ended up coming in, like, October, November, I think, the same year. So, it was a different place back then. It was. And also, who could forget living on orange carpets and lime green pews? It was, the good old days. Anyway, man, Allie and Glenn and the, you guys, thank you for leading worship today. That was so Tim. That was great. It was really great. And Matt for sharing that about Celebrate Recovery. What a terrific, it's just so much good stuff going on in our church. I hope that you are finding ways to plug in, finding places that you can use your gifts. That's one of the great things about Grace. Things that we everybody's encouraged to plug in and use their gifts. And we have teams in all these places. How many churches do you know where the pastor will share the pulpit with people that are gifted to teach? Like, right, and not just hog it every single week thinking that it has to always be on them. I love that. We have several people that can lead worship. If, God forbid, something happened to, any one of us, the thing could keep going. Because the Spirit gives people gifts and He brings the right people at the right time. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. It's amazing. I love coming to Farmington. Thank you for having me over. I love this community. I was driving in. Beautiful new public safety building, it's been long enough that I had not seen that complete. It's gorgeous out there on that. You know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you are looking at me like blank. I love when I see, like, this is, the community comes together and invests in taking care of it. I just love it. Anyway, it's great. It's great to see you. We are in the season of the church calendar. Okay. It is working. Good. We're in a season of the church calendar that we call Lent. You may be aware of this. It is a season of preparation and prayer as we approach what's traditionally called Holy Week, where we remember the passion and crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And so we're in this series that is aptly named Lent. That's a clever title for our series right now. Now, last week we talked about the fact that we need to confess, how important it is to confess. Remember, we learned that the word homologeo means to speak the same. So we basically come and agree with God that we are sinners in need of confession and we need God's forgiveness. And this week, we're going to turn to another really important concept that follows very naturally and normally out of confession, and that is, we're going to talk about today the word repent. And here I am without my turn or burn t-shirt. So, yeah, no, just kidding. I'm kidding. Don't get nervous. This is not going to be a message where I'm going to throw a bunch of fire and brimstone and, where you would see people demonstrating in the streets, repent, sinner! Right with the signs. And the, like I said, turn or burn. Anyway, this is about, I want us to take a really good look at what this whole thing is really about. What does this word repent mean? In fact, basically what happens here is John the Baptist bursts the scene and begins to preach, and his central message is, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And Jesus, too, when he begins his ministry, he begins with these words when you read it in Matthew, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, if we take a closer look, we realize that here's the deal. There had been this period of heavenly silence for about 400 years. The Jewish people had a history where God showed up and spoke to them through prophets. People you might have heard of. Moses, Isaiah, Ezekiel. Some of these names might sound familiar to you. Jeremiah. These people would bring the word of God to the Israelites, and periodically. And their message was often the same. Repent, turn back to God. God was always calling the Israelites, right? And then suddenly, everything went quiet for like 400 years. Interestingly, the same amount of time that the Israelites were captive in Egypt, 400 years. And now, after all that time, the first message from the person that Jesus would later call the greatest prophet who ever lived is repent. Repent of your sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So I want to take a look at this word. The word is metanoia. The infinitive, actually, of the verb is metanoio. And these slides aren't going the same. There we go. The metanoio, okay? It is actually a compound word from meta, which means, okay, there we go, a change. This is very difficult. Maybe I'll shift to the side. Which is a change after a realization, the after effect, and noia, or noio, which is to think, consider, conceive, or realize. So all together, we have metanoia, which means to change one's mind or purpose, or to think differently after. It is also in a verb tense that indicates it is to be ongoing, purposeful, and I even saw the word aggressive action. So this is an aggressive action that is ongoing, and it is to change one's mind or purpose, to think differently after. After what? Maybe after confessing. After the realization that we require God's forgiveness to be reconciled to him. And after we go to God and confess, we must now change our mind and purpose. This is not a new concept. In fact, even God is described in the Old Testament sometimes as repenting. Sometimes language does it anthropomorphizes. You know what that means? It means assigns human, like it explains something in a human way of something that is maybe above human and more than human. But God is shown as repenting or relenting. Like, for example, in Genesis, it says God repented of making humans. And he was so angry with the constant sin of the world and how every man's heart was inclined toward evil all the time. It says he sent the flood. That one did not work out so well for the humans. On the other hand, God also repented and relented on bringing disaster on the Israelites at the infamous golden calf incident, where Moses had gone up to speak to God on the mountain. He was receiving the law, and while he was gone, it seemed like it was taking a long time. So they said to Aaron, could you build us a calf, because we need to worship the God who brought us out of, right? They wanted an idol. So they make an idol, and God got really mad. And Moses talked him out of it, and God repented of his anger and relented and did not bring disaster. That one worked out okay for the humans. The prophets, too, as I said, told the Israelites over and over to turn back to God. And when they didn't listen, God kept calling. And And he kept calling, and he kept loving them, and he held on to his love and his commitment to the covenant he had made. And that prevailed right up until the exact right time, when now comes John and then Jesus saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So we confess our sins, and we repent. We change our minds and our purpose after we confess, perhaps out of a sense of gratitude that comes from knowing we're forgiven. The idea that we'll change something seems to me to be a very reasonable response to confession. We change our minds and purpose, and we look to stop doing the things that got us into that mess. To repent of our sins is to turn away from them. Repent from your sins and turn to God, like the song says. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. I'm keeping my eyes on the cross and what it does for me, and I am not, and I'm going to stay turned away from my sin. We turn toward God. We look to God to be sufficient, to lead us, to help us stay in the way he teaches us to live. And anybody who's ever tried to quit something or make a change, right? It's not enough to just quit the thing. You actually have to fill the thing with something better. Fill the space where the thing was with something better, right? So we turn from our sin. That's great. But we have to, the rest of it is we turn toward God. Because God can give us what we need that we were searching for in all our sin, in all our sinful pursuits. So often we talk about repentance as just the day-to-day, too. It's more than just personal behavior. It's before we were gods, you guys, we literally were mastered by, we're slaves to sin for the sin. We're slaves to sin. Until we come to God and confess and repent and turn toward God, we belong to sin. It's the most natural thing in the world. You can read about it in Romans. And you can try on your own power. If you can confess and you can feel bad and try to stop, but if you don't turn toward God and keep going to him and going to him and going to him, and it's not like an ongoing action, then you can wind up in the same place. It's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting a different result, right? It has master on us. The sin can have master over us as surely as the earth turns on its axis. Before we're gods, we live in our sin. Our nature leads us to selfishness. It leads us to living like nobody, that we're the only ones that matter, to looking out for nobody. It makes our sin nature literally just naturally follows to trying to achieve wealth and status and power, to ignoring the plight of the poor and the widow and the orphan and the refugee and the defenseless and the homeless, to hoarding and stinginess. And then we meet God. We realize our need for forgiveness, and we confess and we speak that same word. We need you, God. We need you, God, to show us how to live the way we're meant to live. If we then were to go on as if nothing had happened, if we don't repent, we've trampled on God's good grace and made it meaningless. Oh, here I'm going to wipe my feet, God, and then I'm going to go do what I want. Oh, because God's grace is like, you know, the mud mat at your door. But if we do as Jesus said, if we repent of our sins and turn and we do as the word says, we change our minds and our purpose and we take aggressive action and we turn the other way, then the kingdom of God can start to become visible in our lives. We can be governed by God's Spirit. We can be governed by generosity and love and taking care of people. Living in a way that's counter to our whole culture, that celebrates often the wrong things. This is God's desire for us. It's Psalm 51, The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. God never rejects the repentant heart. And there's no sacrifice you can make to solve your own sin problem. The sacrifice that's desired is a broken spirit. Having a repentant heart, one that's broken and broken open to the love and grace of God, that's what God wants. Repent and turn toward God. Ever get in that spot where you're trying to hide? You mess up, and you like try to hide. You avoid the topic because you know if you take it to God that you'll be expected to put it down, confess, and turn away from it and leave it and allow God to heal it. Like Adam and Eve trying to hide in the garden, they hid in the garden. Adam and Eve. God's like, where are you? Like you didn't already know. Right? God always, oh no, I feel like staying angry with this person for a while. I'm going to wallow in my anger over this perceived injustice for a while longer. Don't look at that one yet, Lord. I'm not ready to repent of that. What happens when we do that? We develop bitterness. We get more bitter and angry, and it starts to spread, and then it starts to spill all over other people. People that you don't intend it to spill on. You just want to be mad with that one person, but that anger and bitterness takes hold, and it spills out over the people that you love. You begin to lash out. Or you develop a callous towards God, towards God's spirit. Ever have calluses on your finger? Like, guitar players know what I'm talking about. When I have calluses built up properly, I can't use a touchpad on my computer because the touchpad responds to, like, the flesh, not, like, callus, right? Your heart can get like that, you know? Your heart can get like that. And the Holy Spirit wants your heart to be fleshy. We have to repent and turn toward God. We have to give up the stuff even we love that we love. John, he warned them all to repent, too. Now, he didn't leave anybody out. He went to the religious leaders. You brood of snakes. You brood of snakes. Wouldn't you love to say that to a group of people? You brood of snakes. He exclaimed, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Like, I'm out here talking to all the people that come. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Here it is. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. So you can feel bad about your sin all you want, but if you don't make a change, if you don't, right? And I'm saying, look at, now remember, we said repentance, this word repenting, if this is ongoing, it's in a tense that's ongoing, it's going to be a process. I'm not saying you turn once and you're perfect. Don't walk out of here under a big cloud of guilt. But if you confess and then don't, you're not trying to keep God in sight, if you don't change your view, what have you done? It's what John preached, what Jesus preached, what Paul preached. Does it say Acts up there now? Yeah, good. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God. And of having faith in our Lord Jesus. Turn from sin. Turn to God. Have faith in Jesus. Trust Jesus to complete the work. Trust Jesus to have taught us the right way to live. You turn from your sin. You turn to God. And some of us, including me, have to do it over and over again. Repent was one of those military terms, too. I don't know, you may have heard that. It was like the term for an about face. Like, Ever see a group of soldiers do a perfect about face? Like there's a special, you know, you stick your toe behind here and you like whip yourself around. I can't possibly right now. You turn yourself around in one move. Boom! Boom! Like it's impressive. A 180 degree pivot takes us from facing one way to going in the exact opposite direction. Somewhere else in the Bible, I forget where it was. Where is it that says, flee from temptation. Flee. Run away. Like, you see it, you turn and run toward God. There are some roads in Massachusetts that claim you can go two directions at once. There's a spot in Burlington, Mass, where you make a left turn and it tells you you're going to go south on Route 3 and north on 128 at the same time. I took a picture of the sign once. I tried to find it. I'm sorry I don't have it, because it's real. I'm not kidding. Only in mass, right? But for us, yeah, that's not possible. You can't take a left and say, following my sin and following God at the same time. Right? If your sin is down Route 3, then you got to go the other way on 128. All right. That pivot, right? That pivot is that's repentance. One day, a bunch of guys brought a woman to Jesus that had been caught in the act of adultery. It was a bad situation. My first question in that story is always, where was the guy? But anyway, and how'd they know? Because they were waiting for her to entrap her. But anyway, all that aside, he brings this woman caught in the act of adultery and says, you know, Moses' law says we should stone this person. And the Bible says he begins to write in the sand with his finger. And everybody kind of disappears. He says to her, where are all your accusers? She goes, they're gone. And he says, well, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. In other words, yeah, well, I'm not going to condemn you. But, you know, turn back to God and get out of this. Repent. And so should we. We confess to God that we need his forgiveness. We think that through. We change our mind and purpose. We repent. We turn from sin. We turn toward God. Lord, help us to do just that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent this message. We thank you that even after all those centuries of speaking through the prophets, Father God, that you did not give up. You didn't give up. You kept calling. And right at the right time, you sent Jesus. You sent Jesus with a message to turn from our sin and turn to God. And then, Father God, Jesus made it possible for us to actually follow you and be reconciled to you. And so we ask you to help us. Help us to confess and help us to repent. Prick our hearts, God. Let our hearts be broken by our own sin and then broken open to your love and forgiveness. Help us to make the 180-degree pivot that takes us from following our own desires, our own selfishness, to following your way, the way of Jesus, the way of love, the way of being set aside for something better. Help us. Even now, God, some of us are having our hearts spoken to by your Spirit. Shine your light deep. Deep, Lord God. Search our hearts and show us, Lord God, if there are places that we don't even see in ourselves where we need to repent and follow you. Cleanse us from our unrighteousness and help us to turn our eyes to you and help us to surrender everything in us, Lord God, everything. All those things we think we're hiding, God, dig them up. Help us to follow you. In Jesus' name.